My name is Brian Kinsey, and I'm the pastor of First Pentecostal Church in Pensacola. I'm delighted that you're listening to this message, and I hope it blesses your life. If you'd like to submit a prayer request, or if you're interested in a personal Bible study, you can call us at 850-477-1100, or send us an email at firstpent@firstpent.org. We hope you enjoy this message.
Praise the living God. Hallelujah. It's been such a blessing to be a part of this summer revival and felt the presence of God, seen miracles, been renewed in the Holy Ghost, chains have been broken, spirits have been lifted. Maybe some people got nicer. You just never know what kind of miracles that can happen in a revival. It's been an honor to be here, and thank you for your hospitality and your kindness. The food has been incredible. I don't know who cooked the gumbo, but you have a free pass to heaven, I'm quite sure. I don't think you even have to. I think you're just going. Thank you, Jesus. And then the bread pudding today, folks. And we put alcohol on it. We put whiskey and bourbon and what else? Rum. I don't know what we put on it, but it was good. It was good. So thankful for your kindness. Praise God. I honor your pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Kinsey. They're some awesome people. And I thank God for how he's using them in this region. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 12. And then after that, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. My two sons, David and Micah, have been with me this whole time, and I love them so much. Thank you for your kindness, for the people that are watching them and making sure they don't drool on themselves. Ephesians chapter 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 7, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's a confusing scripture unless you look at the meaning of the words. The ESV says it a little bit more plainly. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains it, everybody say the Holy Ghost, will do so until he, everybody say the Holy Ghost, is out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will kill with the breath of his mouth and bring to nothing by the appearance of his coming. I want to give you something tonight that is very different, and we'll just see what happens. I want to talk about discerning the spirits of the age. Discerning the spirits of the age. Let's put our Bibles down and lift our hands and ask God to do exactly what he wants to do tonight. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I pray that revelation, understanding would come upon us. I pray that every eye would see and every ear would hear what thus saith the Lord. I bind every spirit of skepticism and unbelief. I loose the gift of faith. Let your word have the impact upon us that you want it to have. Cause us to be awakened to see what is real. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. And everybody say, in Jesus' name. Would you clap your hands one more time unto the Lord before you're seated? And let's lift our voices unto the Lord with a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Turn to three people, give them a high five and a great compliment. You can be seated. In my opinion, the gift of the discerning of spirits is one of the most important gifts that the church can possess in this last day. To know the source of a thing, to know the hidden cause behind what is happening. The devil will present to you something that looks very different from what it actually is. And discerning of spirits sort of removes the veil, it removes the curtain, and what is behind the thing becomes obvious. Now, the Bible teaches us that there are three types of spirits. There's the Spirit of God, angelic spirits, and then you have the soul mixed with the human spirit, both of a spiritual essence. And we see that when God creates a spirit, that spirit will live forever. It is immortal from that time forward. Angels had a beginning, but they will never die. Some of them will be cast into prison, into the lake of fire, but they will never die. Every person that is born begins an eternal journey. And you're going to spend eternity somewhere, but wherever that is, you are going to be fully conscious. Eternity literally has already begun for us. And spirits, wicked spirits, never die. The rebellious angels that were cast to the earth at the beginning of time are still here. They have not changed. And there is an end to them. There is a final chapter for these spirits, and that is the lake of fire. Jesus said, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." I remind the devil every once in a while. I do talk to the devil. I think you should too. Jesus did. And remind him, hey, buddy, the chapter has been written on your end. You're going to burn in a lake of fire for all of eternity. That's pretty exciting. But they do not die. The same spirits that were here in the beginning are here today. And the reason they are hard to identify is because they work in cycles. They present themselves differently in each new cycle, and they change their appearance to accomplish their purpose. Spirits have to have fertile ground, fertile human ground to manifest and to work. And when a generation rises up that is ignorant and wicked, they can work powerfully. But as we see through history, there is a backlash of humanity, of conscience, decency, and sometimes even godliness when it is revealed really what was going on. So these spirits wait and bide their time for another cultural opportunity to manifest themselves. One of the oldest spirits that exists is the spirit that presents the lie of the Trinity. Egypt had a trinity, Osiris, Horus, and Isis. There was a man by the name of Athanasius who lived in Egypt, and he said that this trinity of Osiris, Horus, and Isis applies to the trinities of all heathen religions. Further, it is observed that in some mystical way, the triad of three persons is one. The first is as the second or third, the second as first or third, the third as first or second. In fact, they are each other, one and the same individual being. This was long before Christianity. In Sumeria, it was written The universe was divided into three regions, each of which became the domain of a god. There was a god named Anu, and his share was the sky. There was a god named Enlil. The earth was his domain. Ea became the ruler of the waters, and together they constituted the triad of the great gods of Sumeria. In Babylonia, they recognized the doctrine of the Trinity, or three persons in one God, as appears from a composite God with three heads forming part of their mythology. And the use of the equilateral triangle also as an emblem of such Trinity in unity. In India, the Puranas, one of the Hindu Bibles of more than 3,000 years ago, contained the following passage. O ye three lords, know that I recognize only one God. Inform me, therefore, which of you is the true divinity, that I may address to him alone my adorations, the three gods being Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. In the 4th century BC in Greece, Aristotle wrote, all things are three, and thrice is all, and let us use this number in the worship of the gods, for as the Pythagoreans say, everything and all things are bounded by threes, and these compose the number of the Trinity. In Greece, there was Zeus, Poseidon, and Adonis. The Phoenicians worshipped Eulomus, Eulosaurus, and Ilion. The Germanic nations had their Trinity. The Irish nations had their Trinity. The earliest example of a Trinity comes from the first kingdom ever written about to rebel against the law of God, Babel, founded by Nimrod. In Babel, there was Nimrod and Sariamis, his wife. History suggests that she poisoned Nimrod, became pregnant by another man, and proclaimed that Nimrod in spirit form had come back to give her her divine son. So you have a father, a spirit, and a son, and a holy mother. Rome worshipped Jupiter, Neptune, and Pluto. And this was how the Trinity, the concept of the Christian Trinity, was transferred to Catholic Christianity in 325 AD. This concept does not exist in Scripture, but these spirits have been around from the beginning of time. From the beginning of time, there have been spirits that have thirsted for human blood. We see one of the most outrageous examples in World War II during the Holocaust. These spirits gained tremendous power to murder mankind en masse. You have the rise of Nazi Germany, Adolf Hitler. And Nazism was a totalitarian racist ideology that made the Jews the reason behind everything bad on earth. Adolf Hitler was possessed by wicked spirits that wanted to slaughter God's people of the flesh. He had a group of men around him that were possessed as well. Goebbels, Goering, Himmler, Eichmann. These men were the perfect fertile ground for these spirits to work. Europe was the perfect fertile ground for these spirits to work. America, Britain, Denmark, and a few other countries stood in the way. But after an incredible systematic slaughter of the Jews, Nazi Germany was totally defeated. But the spirits that possessed these Nazis are still alive today. During the Holocaust, Nazi Germany used gas chambers to kill approximately 6 million, conservatively 8 million, not so conservative estimate of Jews killed in the gas chambers. The gas that was used was called Zyklon B. Zyklon B was made by a German company called IG Farben. After the war and the total defeat of Germany, IG Farben changed its name to Hoechst AG. There is a drug today called RU486. It is a non-surgical abortion drug which kills the baby in the womb. non-surgical abortions using RU486 are performed in the first 63 days of pregnancy. The company that makes RU486 is a French pharmaceutical company called Roussel-Uclef. Roussel-Uclef is a subsidiary of Host AG, which used to be called IG Farben. In essence, the same company that brought you the gas chambers of the World War II Holocaust now brings you the abortion pill of the American Holocaust. Spirits never die. Different face, different approach, same spirit. In the Old Testament and in historical times, child sacrifice was rampant among the pagan cultures. This spirit that wants the blood of children has been around from the beginning of time. Anthropologists and archaeologists have uncovered ruins in Carthage where huge vases were found with charred baby remains. These babies were between 1 and 1.5 years old. And they realized this was not a sickness. This was not some plague, because they all died at exactly the same time and were preserved. In Phoenicia, they found similar things. When you look in history, there was a country called Moab. Moab worshiped the god Chemosh. There was a country called Ammon. Ammon worshiped the same god, different name, Molech. Israel worshiped Baal, the god of the Canaanites. The same god, Molech. The same god, Chemosh. Baal became Israel's replacement for God. He was the anti-god. He was the god that was based upon convenience and lust. The worship of Baal, which was the god of the weather, was a convenient god that offered a convenient religion. He gave Israel a religion that would allow their lust and sin to remain unchallenged. To worship Baal meant it would bring prosperity and good fortune. And there were three overwhelming characteristics in Baal worship. Number one, nature worship. Number two, incredible sexual promiscuity. Number three, the slaughter of children. It is very interesting that the more pagan Israel became, the more they worshiped nature. They worshiped in the groves and high places. They worshiped in open-air temples. Nature was regarded as higher than anything. Romans 1:25, Paul said, they changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Instead of being thankful for the blessings of God, they used those blessings to further their own idolatry. The prophet Hosea said in chapter 2 and verse 8, for she did not know that I, everybody say God, God gave her her corn and wine and oil, and multiplied her silver and gold, which they prepared for Baal. And if they really wanted good fortune and prosperity and deliverance from a crisis, they would offer their child to Baal. They would put their child in the arms of the statue that had the head of a cow. The arms were lifted up. They were sloped downward from the fingertips to the elbow. There was a hole in between the elbows, and the child would roll down the arms of Baal into the hole. There was a pit filled with fire that the baby would fall into, and it would burn to death. And they would play flutes and drums loudly to drown out the sounds of the screaming baby to the people gathered. It was accompanied with incredibly promiscuous acts, which are really too disgusting to tell from a pulpit. And here we see nature worship, grotesque sexual immorality, and child sacrifice all rolled up into one. This happened thousands of years ago, but you see, spirits never die. The 1960s, I'm going somewhere, okay? The 1960s, nature worship became very popular. Free love became popular. These are two components of Baal worship, and they were firmly established. There was only one thing missing: the legal, systemic slaughter of children. The free love, nature first movement reached its pinnacle in 1967 during the Summer of Love. And 6 years later, 1973, abortion became legal. Now all three aspects of Baal worship were fully functioning. And since Roe versus Wade, 60 million babies have been altered on the altar of convenience and prosperity and personal fortune. The number one reason given for the abortion of a child: it's not the right time, it's inconvenient. There are two deaths that occur with every abortion: the death of a child and the death of a conscience. And we are right where Israel was before their judgment fell. On September the 19th, 2016, a temple to Baal was unveiled in downtown New York City. Amazingly, the state with the most abortions per capita by far is New York City. This nation is drenched in the blood of innocent children. God came to Josiah, and Josiah realized that they were in trouble, and God's judgment was going to fall, and he began to pray to God. And he said, "Lord, withhold your judgment." And God said to Josiah, he said, "I will, Josiah. I will withhold my judgment as long as you are alive. But as soon as I take you out of the way, the judgment cannot help but fall, because the blood of innocent people are crying out to me from the streets." And I want to tell you something. We are doing exactly what Israel did. Instead of America being faithful for the blessings of God, America is using those blessings to further their own idolatry. And this is a warning to the church. We've got to wake up. This thing's about to come to an end. We've got to be shaken out of our lethargy. There is sacrificing going on all over this country, and God's judgment is about to fall. I want you to lift your hands right now to the Lord and talk to him for a moment. I want you to thank God that you can see the truth. I want you to thank God that you can hear the word of the Lord, that you're in a place where revelation is being preached. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You may be seated. God help this generation of Pentecostals. We don't abort our children physically, but I have seen them abort their children spiritually, because they refuse to live above the level of convenience. They refuse to rebuke the idols of convenience out of their life. And when you look at America, America is caught in the ancient religion of Baal worship. We're not worshiping a cow head. We're too practical for that. But we're doing the same sins now that they were doing then. How can people protest a sea turtle dying but remain totally unmoved by the death of a child? It is a darkness. It is a religion. Climate first. Nature first, above all else, nature. Spirits never die. Our culture is consumed with sex. It's consumed with nature worship. It's drenched in the blood of our unborn children. Baal worship has found fertile ground again. I have seen graphic depictions. I just read an article today of a man, a doctor that worked at an abortion clinic. For some reason, he kept the remains of 2,200 babies in his home. Tell me there's not a spirit of depravity attached to it. Tell me. And in Planned Parenthood, I'm sure many of you have seen the videos of these tiny children. I'm gonna get as real and plain as I can tonight. These tiny children taken out of the womb alive, squirming on a table. I took a bunch of classes at University of Florida on evolution and pop culture. I wanted to see what they were thinking. What are they teaching? And in one of the classes, they were pretty violent. The teacher loved me, actually, because I was the only one that would stand up to what everything was being taught, and I would interrupt the class, and the students didn't like me very much. But in one particular class, we were talking about hunting. It was during the time, I believe it was in Maryland, there were two snipers that were just shooting people randomly. Y'all remember that? Several years ago. And in the class, they were comparing people who hunt deer to these snipers that kill people. And there was, folks, it's absolutely ludicrous. You know, the Bible talks about killing meat. Arise, Peter, kill and eat. It's New Testament. Just in case you were wondering. But the spirit of oppression was so powerful in that classroom. There was a bunch of students, and there were a few good old boys. They had on their camo hats, and they had their John Deere book bags. And when they started talking about hunting and how it's just like murder, these guys pulled their hat down and slid into their seat. And something began to rise inside of me. I don't know if it was anointing or anger or what, but it came out. And I lifted my hand and I waved it, and the teacher smiled. She knew what was coming, and she pointed at me, Mr. Campitella. I said, listen, I just want to tell a story here. Because there were people crying in the class about people hunting deer. They were crying in the class. And this flame of total just absolute weirdness was being fanned by the spirit of these professors that are indoctrinating our children. So anyway, I raised my hand. She said, Mr. Campitella. I said, I want to tell everybody a story. The other day, I was in the woods. And it was beautiful. I could hear the birds chirping. The wind was blowing. It felt great. And just nature. I love nature. They were good with that. And then I said, all of a sudden, one of the most beautiful sights I've ever seen, a beautiful doe came walking out in front of my tree stand. Y'all know where I'm going with this, don't you? And I said, it was so beautiful, I had to get a closer look. So I took my scope and I put the crosshairs on the heart of this doe. And I was amazed by the beauty. And at this point, I heard some girls go, oh! And some sobbing broke out behind me. And I said, and I pulled the trigger. And I said, the 270 round pierced. I was anointed. I'm telling you, I was waxing eloquent. I was waxing eloquent in the Holy Ghost. I said, it pierced the skin of the animal and burst out the other side, and it fell down in the leaves, dead. And at this point, there were literally people sobbing out loud in the classroom. And I, with a loud voice, I said, but seriously, people, we talk about whales being beached and people traveling across the country to save a whale. The babies are being murdered by the thousands every day. Something is genuinely off. Something is genuinely off. And folks, it's going to get more off. And the only thing that's keeping it from going totally off are people just like you and just like me that are filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that lift our hands and praise the Lord. It holds back the darkness. Shabbatia. You wonder sometimes why you feel weary when you come to church. You feel like you've just been working all week and you come to church tired. Do you understand what happens to the spirit realm when you lift your hands? God is using your voice and your body and your tongue and your spirit and your energy to hold back the darkness. He is restraining the spirit of the Antichrist through you. Do not yield to the weariness. Do not succumb to the numbness. Lift your hands and lift your voice and push it back. Push it back in the name of Jesus. Do it again. You may be seated. We are seeing a massive surge of anti-Semitism. This is not something new. This is something very old. Back to Adolf Hitler. There was a man titled the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. The Grand Mufti of Jerusalem was an Arab. He was the leader of the Arab population in Israel before there was a nation of Israel again. He was a Semite. Hitler had meetings, personal one-on-one meetings, with the Grand Mufti of Jerusalem. Hitler was a rabid anti-Semite. What we find is that he wasn't against Semites. He was against the Jews. He had a kindred spirit with this Haj Amin al-Husseini. And together they discussed what was called the final solution to the Jewish problem. They were bonded together in their mutual hatred of the Jewish people. They were bonded together in their mutual desire to annihilate the Jewish people. And Europe was fertile, but the Middle East was not ready. Now, Islam is openly proclaiming its intention to slaughter Israel, just as Hitler did 80 years ago. The exact same spirit, different location, different face, and the world is becoming fertile ground again for another Holocaust. This time, not just by one nation, but by many nations. Spirits never die. It's not just anti-Semitism, it's anti-Christianity. Every 5 minutes, a Christian is martyred for their faith. An organization for persecuted Christians. The Organization for Persecuted Christians has claimed. According to Christian Freedom International, more than 200 million followers around the world currently face persecution, making Christians the most persecuted faith group on the planet. The last 3 years were dubbed the most intense Christian persecution the world has ever seen in history. We live in a bubble, folks. Christians currently face persecution in 105 of the world's 196 countries across the world. It was calculated that more Christians have been martyred for their faith in the 20th and 21st centuries alone than during the previous 19 centuries combined. Most of the persecution comes at the hands of Islam. Islamic State, we heard, they crucified men, women, and children. They burned churches with the people inside of them. They asked Christians to convert or die. They beat them, and when they would not convert, they crucified them. In Kenya, there were numerous examples of Christians being singled out and brutally killed. Graphic details of forced conversions, decapitations, people that proclaim Christianity would not relinquish, and they don't even have the level of revelation of Jesus that you and I have. Just a couple of years ago, there was a story of a Pakistani Christian teenager who was set on fire by two Muslim young people because he was Christian. He was taken to the hospital with 55% of his body in third-degree burns. He was alive, and he told reporters, he said, "I told them I was a Christian, and they started beating me. When I tried to run, both boys chased me through the street and threw kerosene on me and burnt me." And just a few days later, he died in that hospital because they lacked the treatment for that type of tragedy. There was a lady named Helen Bahani. She spent 2.5 years in a metal shipping crate for refusing to recant her faith. She was beat repeatedly for 2.5 years. They heard her inside of this crate. This is in Africa. They heard her speaking scripture and asked her, where did she get the Bible? And she said it was in her head. So they brought her out of the crate and said, "We are going to beat the Bible out of your head." And in the middle of her beating, she looked at her tormentor and said, "I don't hate you." She said, "We are both following orders. You have received an order to beat me, and I have received an order to stay faithful to Jesus. So carry on." There was a man named Akadi captured by Muslims in Turkey. He wanted to teach them a Bible study. His wife warned him, "These guys are not good. They don't want the Bible. They're going to do something to you." And he said, "But they have opened their home, and I must teach Jesus to them." They captured him and tortured him for 2 hours and finally beheaded him. And his widow got on television and publicly forgave his assassins. There was a woman named Haiwu from North Korea. She was a Christian, and she was put into a concentration camp for being a Christian. The only place she could find to pray was the sewage pit. None of the guards would go near the area that had the sewage pit. And so she would go down into the human sewage pit so she could lift her hands and worship God unafraid. She found other Christians in this concentration camp, and they begin to meet together in the sewage pits and worshiped Jesus. If they are doing this much, folks, without the fullness of truth, without air conditioning, without padded pews, without glorious music, how much is the God of all the earth going to judge and require of us? My God, have mercy. People miss church on a whim. If they got a headache, they'll miss church. If they got something going on in their car, they'll miss church. And these people are having church in sewage pits. God, deliver us from all that nonsense. Let a spirit of faithfulness come up. God, help us to see how blessed we are. Islam murders homosexuals. They subjugate their women. They worship a pedophile prophet. It's kind of tight. They murder and subjugate their opposition. And if you speak against Islam in America, you're an Islamophobe. True Christianity liberates people. It separates them from their old sin. The chains of addiction are broken. Lives are changed. Families are knit together. People are healed, delivered, set free. And if you speak against Christianity in this nation, you are hailed as a progressive American hero. I'm telling you, I'm done caring about what people think. Folks, we are the last day church, and there's going to be a last day revival. Both Pastor Kinsey and Brother Stone King said it in this microphone. We are about to see the greatest outpouring of apostolic revival that the world has ever seen, and we're going to be a part of it. We're going to be in the middle of it, but it's not going to come from a bunch of sheepish apostolics. It's going to come from a people who are not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We are in the last of the last days. You may be seated. Jesus gave the parable of the fig tree. The fig tree is Israel. You can do the study. He said, when the fig tree blooms, the generation that sees the fig tree bloom shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. He was not talking about the apostles. They're dead. David in Psalms 90 and 10 tells us the duration of a generation. He said, the days of our years are 80 years. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow. A generation is from between 70 to 80 years. Jesus said, the generation that sees the fig tree bloom shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. When did the fig tree bloom? May of 1948. May of 2018 was 70 years. We are now in September of 2019. Folks, could it be possible, and I think it is, that we are in the last 9 years before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lift your hands and just dwell on that for a moment. Let your voice out just a little bit. Before the first coming of Jesus Christ, there was a man named John the Baptist who ushered in the coming of Jesus Christ. He had a different appetite. He had a different way of dressing. He didn't look like the world. He didn't live with the world. He refused to be entertained by the world. He lived in a desert place, and his words and his life ushered in the coming of the Messiah. John the Baptist came in the spirit of Elijah. Elijah's spirit was God's answer to the spirit of Baal. The answer to the spirit of Baal is the spirit of Elijah. The spirit of Elijah is all about public demonstration of the power of the Holy Ghost. Pops has always said for years, we need to take this thing into the streets. Public display of power. Folks, we are under so much pressure when we step out of these walls. We can be, I've been downright hypocritical, because we come in here, and man, we juke and jive, and we talk in tongues, and we lay hands on each other, and we slobber, and we jerk, and we roll. When we go out into public, we become a different denomination. Well, what happened? You yielded to the pressure of culture. I'm sorry. This is my last service. I may never come back. I'm going to tell you like I'm never coming back. And God rebuked me, because I read in 2 Timothy where Paul said to Timothy, he said, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. And when you pray, I want you to do something. I want you to get your hands up. But we've never focused on that. We've always focused on the woman part. And like men are also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. And we have taken the second half of that literally in its full force. But there's a statement of verbal equivalency that exists between those two things. In like manner also. Gentlemen, we're supposed to pray in public and lift your hands when you do it. Oh, I got one hand clap and a little giggle. You know why so many of our men are secretly dealing with lust? Because you refuse to get on the offensive. I am so done being on the defensive, Pastor. Listen, we need to get on the offensive. Greater is he that's in the church than he that's in the world. I am not going to yield to the spirit of the Antichrist that says you better shut up if you're not talking like I want you to talk. No! We are the ones with the truth. We are the ones with the word from God. Somebody aggressively lift your voice and just talk in tongues for a moment. Throw off all inhibition for a moment. Throw off all hesitation. For the kingdom of God suffereth violence. It tolerates, it accepts, it's open to spiritual aggression. And the spiritually aggressive take it by force. We're not going to back up. We're not going to calm down. I reject that spirit that says you need to tone it down. No, I'm going to turn it up. 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 I'm going to shake everything. I'm going to shake everything I can. We got the Holy Ghost. Some of y'all need to go into warfare right now. There's been some spirits fighting your mind, fighting your home, fighting your marriage. Come on, you got the Holy Ghost. 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 That's it, just get in the Holy Ghost. We're going to flow in the Spirit for a little while. I wasn't done with my message, but obviously the Lord is done right now. I want you to tap in. I want you to tap in. Young people, it's on your head. It's in your spirit. You cannot be normal. You cannot be neutral. You cannot be passive. You're going to be the most spiritually aggressive young people that the world has ever seen. This generation of young men and young women are going to be the most spiritually aggressive that the world has ever seen. We're not going to be afraid. We're not going to be intimidated. We're not going to back down. Come on, get in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Holy Ghost. Just close your eyes. Tune everybody out. Don't worry about who's around you, what you sound like, what you look like. Get in the Holy Ghost. Get in the Holy Ghost. What are you doing? You're pushing back darkness right now. Right now. Right now. When we do this right here, the spirits in Pensacola, the spirits in Pensacola, the devils that have the minds of the people in Pensacola, they gotta back up. They gotta back up, because the Holy Ghost in us restrains them from doing what they want to do.
Come on, sir, pick up your sword. You laid that sword down a while ago. Pick up that sword. Come on, mama. Pick up that sword of Holy Ghost prayer. Come on, young person. Grab your sword. Grab your sword. Let's go to war. Let's go to war. There's a whole group of young people out there. They need the Holy Ghost. They need to be delivered. And we're the ones with. I want you to get a hold of somebody around you. I want you to get a hold of somebody around you and loose them from all fear. Pray a spirit of aggression upon them. We're the ones that are supposed to be dancing in the streets, not the pride people, the Holy Ghost people. We're the ones that are supposed to be taking over the city, not the pride people, the Holy Ghost people. If you feel like you've been in a shell, if you feel like you've been in a box, you can come out if you want to. You can break out of that box tonight.
You young people, get a hold of each other. There's a spirit of fanatical aggression upon you. Get a hold of each other. Young people, lay hands on each other. Lay hands on whoever you want to in the name of Jesus Christ. This is the last generation. This is the last generation. We're in the last phase. We're in the last little block of time before we hear the trumpet sound. You think I'm going to get carnal now? You're crazy. You think I'm going to go lazy now? You're crazy. We're about to hear the trumpet, folks. We're about to hear the trumpet. We're about to fly away. What we've been waiting for is upon us. It's at the door. It's knocking. We're right there. It's time to turn it up. It's time to pray and fast like we never had before. It's time to have church like we never had before.
That's it. You're in the Holy Ghost. You're in the Holy Ghost. You're doing more right now than just praying. You're accomplishing more right now than just crying. You're doing more than you realize. You're pushing back the devil. You're beating the devil's brains out right now. He has no answer for what's happening to him right now. He's got no defense for a praying church. He's got no defense for a praying group of young people. He's got no defense for a mama who's shedding tears and lifting her voice in the name of Jesus. He's got no defense. We are restraining the darkness. Then aggression will come upon you. You can connect to a spiritual aggression that'll just take over you. It'll take over your prayer. It'll take over your body. It'll take over everything, 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 everything.
We hope you enjoyed this message. Please reach out to us if you have any questions. We can be found at firstpent.org. That's firstpent.org. If you're ever in Pensacola, Florida, we hope you visit us. Be blessed in Jesus' name.